Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So ever since the 2008 election of President Obama, people have talked about movement building and the youth vote in a different light. And now with the midterm elections upon us, many are wondering what happened to that great collective energy. Our next guest, William Upski Wimsatt, is a community organizer, author, and social change activist. At age 21, he wrote a collection of essays and interviews about hip-hop activism and cultural identity called Bomb the Suburbs, bomb being a term for writing graffiti. Now, 16 years later, he is out with a new book called Please Don't Bomb the Suburbs. Welcome to WNYC, William Upski Wimsatt. Hello.
Hey.
So Bomb the Suburbs.
Did I make you laugh with that title?
Definitely. And I missed Bomb the Suburbs when it first came out, so I got my laughs, you know, in both doses at once with the new one. Why the change? What happened?
Well, a lot has changed in the last 16 years. You know, I was a 21-year-old whippersnapper, and I'm now a 37-year-old, you know, Park Slope resident. And, you know, but more than that, you know, I wrote Bomb the Suburbs right before the Oklahoma City bombing happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a cute title when it was about graffiti, and then people started looking at me like, whoa, what is this book about? And, you know, actually the suburbs have changed a lot. You know, back then it was all kind of like white flight was still in full effect from the cities were being disinvested in. Chicago, where I grew up, had lost 700,000 residents since 1950. And no one in the mid-90s could have guessed, you know, the gentrification that would have happened. So now suburbs are the biggest area where poor people are growing. The cities are also changing, becoming more like suburbs. And the world has changed, and we, the change agents, need a more sophisticated strategy. So this
you are creeping right up to the edge of calling Park Slope a suburb. And I can just feel the blood boiling.
Well, you know, if a shoe fits, wear it. So I'm right there, all up in it. So I think the book is actually a story of my generation growing up, and also of the millennials growing up, and it's kind of a movement history, social movements, cultural movements, political movements of the last, you know, 25 years, and really kind of tracing a line, trying to do a little bit of Howard Zinn style, you know, personal narrative, though, about how we got here, and then what do we do now? Like, now what? Like, here in the age of Obama, it's really confusing, I think, especially for a lot of progressives. Mm-hmm. Now what, and where do we go from here? And it kind of lays out a bold, even though the title doesn't sound bold, it kind of lays out a bold, provocative, where do we go from here?
You have a different take on movements. You call bottled water a movement, and the proliferation of big box stores a movement. What does it take to be a movement, in your view, and what is the significance, if any, you know, big business thrust into communities like those can be labeled a movement?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, we've had this kind of rarefied sense of what a movement is. So it's pretty much like only the civil rights movement, you know, was a real movement. And that's sort of our metaphor for every kind of movement. And I think it's demoralizing to people who are building really successful movements these days. You know, if you look at the immigrant rights movement, the climate justice movement, you know, et cetera, these are all movements. And any two people doing something is a movement, you know, of some kind. There are good movements and bad movements. And so I just want to demystify this whole idea of a movement, because everyone knows movements are this important, powerful thing. But I think we sort of do ourselves a disservice because we treat them like these mystical unicorns that only come around, you know, mm-hmm. once in a while, when in fact we're always building movements. And the question is, how do we build them better? And it's, you know, be really practical and strategic about the movement building we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, well, the subtitle of the book is about building a super movement. How do we build a super movement? And it kind of puts out this idea that, you know, the movements of the 60s were, you know, these distinct movements, civil rights movement, the anti-war movement, the women's movement, the gay liberation movement, you know. And so our generation's job, you know, and speaking to my generation or really anyone alive now, is to sort of weave them together into an integrated super movement capable of governing, right? And so we've taken baby steps toward that, and really a lot of baby steps. That, I mean, part of the headline of the book is we actually don't suck. We're actually succeeding at a lot of what we've been trying to do. And, you know, I think a lot of particularly progressive folks are feeling really demoralized right now. But I think there's some new energy, especially with this election, realizing how important it is.
Although it seems like the right has most of the energy leading up to the election. We'll see if the president's attempt to build energy among his 2008 base is successful. But I think some of your writing reads as a defense of President Obama's effectiveness. Did you intend it to be?
Well, you know, I think, you know, when people look back on what was accomplished in the last couple of years, I mean, the stimulus package was, you know, the biggest anti-poverty program in a generation. You know, we passed the biggest changes to health care, the biggest expansion of green jobs. We got, you know, blood-sucking loan companies out of the student loan business, which is like an $80 billion boon for students. You know, so there's all this stuff people don't realize has happened, you know. And, yeah, I mean, I'm as disappointed as every other progressive with all the bad things. We could all go on for 3 hours about, you know, all the things. But the metaphor I use is, like, when you're actually an adult, when you're actually governing, when you actually have responsibility, mm-hmm. as opposed to being a critic on the outside complaining, it's, you know, change is hard. Management is hard. Adulthood is hard. Parenting is hard, you know? So, and we need to be the grown-ups here. We need to be responsible. And, you know, it's change has to happen. You know, it doesn't happen as fast as we want it to happen. So we have to realize when we're succeeding not to shoot ourselves in the foot when we're actually taking huge baby steps forward. And the idea is not to defend or attack, but to say let's keep taking those baby steps. And to do that, we have to realize that we're succeeding. We have to realize and not be demoralized. And actually, I mean, I've been a huge admirer of the Tea Party and the kind of the right-wing momentum that's happened, you know, and that's frankly what progressive folks need to do. But I think really in the last week there's been a new energy of people being like, whoa, wait a minute, like, you know. So I think the enthusiasm gap is closing, and I'm pretty excited. You know, I've been working on an exciting project called theballot.org, where people are making their own local nonpartisan and progressive voter guides all over the country, right? Because nobody mm-hmm. knows how to – the Working Families Party isn't in most states, right? Most people don't know how to vote down ballot for judges and issues and whatnot. And so people are making their own local guides all over the country. And so there's all this excitement about it because, you know, right-wing folks they've been great at voter guides, right? Van Jones and I actually just had this piece in Huffington Post kind of exposing some of these voter guides, which are pretty terrifying.
Right.
You know, it's like,
Christian Coalition under Pat Robertson was famous for pioneering some of that. The voter guide
right.
from the conservative evangelical perspective.
Yeah, so that. There are these voter guides, and you have to look at them. You can look up this Huffington Post.
Candidate by candidate, district by district.
Yeah, and we looked at Nevada, and it said, you know, Harry Reid, and it looks very nonpartisan and objective. It says, Harry Reid, anti-Jesus, faith rating zero. And then you look over at Senator Ensign, you know, who was just involved in the sex scandal, and it says, faith rating 100. You know, so it's and these are being faxed right now, we believe, to 120,000 churches and it says that they are nonpartisan, and they're being passed out. But so the idea is, you know, we need some parity here. Progressives need to make their own local voter guides. You can make one. You can tweet them. You can Facebook them, and they get passed around. And hopefully, you know, swing a bunch of elections.
We're almost out of time with William Upski Wimsatt, community organizer, social change activist, author 16 years ago of the book, called Bomb the Suburbs, bomb being a term for writing graffiti. His new book, 16 years later at age 37, Please Don't Bomb the Suburbs, a midterm report on my generation and the future of our super movement. And just on that location element to finish up, you said, I try to tell young people, do not move to New York or California, Boston, D.C. or Chicago. These are not the cool places to live. The cool places to live are in the suburbs and small towns where it's much easier to make a political impact. Did you mean it literally?
Absolutely. You know, and everyone from New York, get on the phone and call all your friends who live outside of New York and tell them they're super cool and they need to vote. You know, I actually met Congressman Tom Perriello at a party in Brooklyn. He was like, you know, I'm thinking I should go back to Charlottesville and run for Congress. And he did. He moved back home, and he's in Congress doing great work, and we need to all do that, you know. I love Park Slope, so I'm staying here.
Yes, we do have to point out, the full disclosure, you live in Park Slope.
Right. But thank you so much for having me on this show. And, you know, everybody, make sure you donate. Donating to public radio is kind of like voting. If everybody did it, then we wouldn't have to ask them to do it.
That's very nice. You don't have to pitch for us, though. It's okay. I appreciate the spontaneity of it. Just one more quote of yours, okay? You told the magazine In These Times that the right-wing movement needs a hug. What did you mean by that?
Oh, there's just a lot of anger and fear, and you know, we're all in this together. You know, we're all on the Titanic together. We have to turn it around together, and that means creating community, that means understanding each other, that means listening to each other. And you know, as much as you know, I'm out there working as hard as I can to get everyone to get their friends to vote, you know, we're ultimately all in this together, and I totally believe in the transformative possibilities. You know, it's not ultimately about one side winning. It's about all of us.
Please don't bomb the suburbs, a midterm report on my generation and the future of our super movement. We thank William Wimsatt. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Great conversation. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and one yet to go as we continue our conversation on words in and words out of the English language. We've been taking suggestions from some of you on what words from other languages should be adopted by English, and we've got some great results. So we'll continue with that coming up next.